white shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news in shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City. This is Tom Creighton, station manager of WCNO Radio. Most of you know that WCNO Radio is a listener-supported ministry. But do you know that much of our programming is made possible by corporate underwriting? Christian businessmen and women who sponsor this ministry monthly with a financial commitment that allows us to continue bringing you the music and message of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In return, we play sponsorship announcements that let the listeners know who our sponsors are, what they do, what products and services they provide, and if our listeners wish, how they may contact those sponsors. So if you're a Christian business person, why not join us as a partner in ministry today? For free, no obligation information on the corporate underwriting program, we're available at 772-221-1100. That number again, 772-221-1100.
Free Spirit Worship Center, under the pastoral leadership of Pastors Ronnie and Glenise Glover, located at 364 Swain Boulevard, Green Acres, Florida, at the corner of Swain and Biscayne. Join us every Sunday morning at 10:15 a.m. Free Spirit Worship Center, where families are our focus. Exciting praise and worship, a family-friendly worship environment. For additional information, call 561-596-8772 on the web at www.fswcc.org.
You got your life savings, you got your 401k, you got your houses, you got your capacity vacation. Those are all well and good. But if that is your security, God says, I'm wiping it out. Why, God? Because I love you.
I want to be more than an ordinary servant. I want to be more.
Welcome to Capturing His Conscience with Pastor Bernard King Sr. Pastor Bernard is Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. The focus of our ministry is to be more than ordinary servants for an extraordinary God. This is your host, Tom Moon. In today's program, we're going to continue the series on the book of Hosea. Pastor Bernard will be teaching from Hosea chapter 8, verses 7 through 14. We also want to remind parents that Hosea includes adult-related themes that may not be appropriate for young children. So please use discretion in allowing your children to listen to this message. In today's program, Pastor Bernard will begin his discussion on practices that place God's people in a position to be punished. Now here's Pastor Bernard with today's program, The Eviction of God and the Embracing of Idolatry, Part 2.
If you have your Bible, turn over to the book of Hosea. You should be there already. I'm going to read the text, then I'm going to pray. Hosea chapter 8, we pick it up at verse 7. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the strangers shall swallow it up. Israel is swallowed up. Now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. For they are gone up to Assyria, a wild ass alone by himself. Ephraim hath hired lovers. Yea, though they have hired among the nations, now will I gather them, and they shall sorrow a little for the burden of the king of princes. Because Ephraim hath made many altars to sin, altars shall be unto him to sin. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. They sacrifice flesh for the sacrifices of my offerings and eat it, but the Lord accepted them not. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins. They shall return to Egypt. For Israel hath forgotten his maker and builded temples, and Judah hath multiplied fenced cities. But I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. Woo-hoo-hoo. Lord have mercy. You need to know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. This is the God of Scripture that we don't want to look at and consider and embrace. And a lot of churches have just pretty much to say, you know what? We don't want that kind of God that is a God of judgment and a God of accountability, personal spiritual accountability that will make you accountable. But we will visit that this morning, Cornerstone. And if you're taking note for our study this morning, I'd like us to consider 8 practices that place God's people in a position to be punished. 8 practices that place God's people in a position to be punished. And see what we can learn from them. Let's open up in prayer. Lord God, we now take time to look into your word, which is forever settled in heaven. It's our absolute standard. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It directs us. It separates us from this world. It convicts us and it leads us to the truth. God, give us a heart to receive. Help us to visit that according to our humanity, this is a difficult and challenging passage. But according to the Spirit, we welcome your truth. For your glory we pray. Amen. Hosea chapter 8 opens up, if you remember, with an alarm. An alarm blast. It's an alarm because the Assyrians, God's agent for judgment, was on their way. The Assyrians will swoop down on Israel like an eagle, like a powerful eagle. And what you have in this opening chapter, in the opening verses of chapter 8, is this judgment on God's people, his nation. This is basically similar and connected to the curses that we find in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Write that reference down, Deuteronomy chapter 28. And then hold your place in Hosea. Let me take you there real quickly. I'm just going to highlight some of the judgment or curses that the people of Israel was guaranteed to walk through, because God said, this is what you're going to get when you don't love me, when you don't value me, when you don't appreciate me, when you forget about my covenants. Get ready to sign up for some judgment. If you have your Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 47 to 51. I want you to see what happens when we move away from the covenant of God. In our context, in the New Testament, when we move away from the truth of God and the grace of God, when we evict God away, we don't want any biblical principles in our life. This is what you sign up for. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 47 to 51. You got it? Say amen. Verse 47. For homework, look at the whole chapter, but I'm going to read verses 47 to 51. Notice how verse 47 opens. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore shall thou serve thy enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And ye shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kind, which is cattle, or flocks, or thy sheep, until he had destroyed thee. Is that a God of the Bible, Pastor? I'm going to destroy you economically, socially. I will not show favoritism or kindness to the old or the young. You would be naked. You would be destitute. You would be thirsty. You have no place to turn, no place to hide. God says, I will bring this judgment swiftly upon you. And why would you do such a thing, God? God, are you the bad guy of judgment? You're carrying this big stick, God. Why would you do such a thing? Because you didn't serve me. You didn't love me. You didn't appreciate me. You didn't value me. You didn't love me with a, notice what the text says. You didn't love me with a good heart. You didn't care for me. You weren't joyful about me. You weren't serving all the ordinances, all the commandments, all the way I told you to observe and worship me. You just evicted, mixed. You just got rid of them. You don't care about me, Israel. You don't serve me anymore with the right heart. There's no joy. There's no gladness. And you're not grateful for all the things I've done for you. Did you not forget about Egypt? Now again, before we throw stones at Israel, we need to look at ourselves. How are you serving the Lord? Do you enjoy a glad heart? Do you enjoy a grateful heart? Do you know that the clothes that you have on your back and the house that you live in and the car that you drive and your very health that you enjoy comes from the grace of God? Don't you forget that, no matter what size square footage that you live in, it was from God. It's by His grace. You see, Deuteronomy chapter 28 communicates, if you read the whole chapter, it communicates the conditions and the choices. There was conditions and there was choices. And what was the choice? To serve God or not to serve God. Because if you serve God, then you get these blessings, these conditions of blessings and prosperity and protection. But if you choose not to serve God, then you get the consequences. You see, what I know about our great God of the Scriptures, the God of the Bible, not the God of the culture, what I know about the God of the Bible, the Word of God, that God chose a specific people group. God chose the nation of Israel to reveal who He was to the nations. God wanted to manifest Himself through Israel, and today His heart is still on Israel. Don't you forget that, church people. Right now, I borrow a sports metaphor. You see, the nation of Israel is on the bench. They're not out there being the leading missionaries or in the game, if you will, because of their unbelief. They've yet to accept Jesus as Messiah. But one day they will. And it'll be, and all Israel will be Israel. But until then, we are supposed to provoke them to envy, Christian people. We're supposed to be the ones that point them to the Messiah with our lives. And it's not an anti-Semitic attitude I'm talking about. It's an attitude of prayer and grace and praying and pointing them to the Bible, the Jesus in the Old Testament. So Deuteronomy 28, see, God said, I want the world to see myself. I will manifest myself through the nation of Israel. And how would this look? Well, God will reveal who He is by blessing Israel, how bountiful they are, how great they are as a nation, how He will make them a powerful nation. They will see God, and all the nations will say, wow. Look at the God that Israel served, that fight the battles for them, that blesses them, that provides wine and oil and corn and their provisions and flocks. And oh, they're blessed. What a blessed nation. God will manifest Himself that way. A God also will manifest Himself. Look at the judgment that this God is bringing on the people of Israel. God said, you know what? I'm going to show them that I am who I am, and I say what I say I'm going to do. God would judge them, but yet he will still allow them to survive in that judgment. Everybody say mercy. But the choice is yours, Israel, and I say to you, the choice is yours, Christian. The choice is yours if you want to serve the God of the Bible or not. And in Hosea's, in the book of Hosea, let's turn back to Hosea now. In the book of Hosea, chapters 7 through 8, it is very clear that Israel is still making bad choices. It is clear by her choices, and it will be just as clear about her consequences. You see, it was Israel's pretentious profession that points to her spiritual poverty. We got buildings upon buildings all over South Florida. There are houses of worship all over the place. But do they possess the power of God? The grace of God, the love of God? Do they worship and do they communicate, and are they teaching the Jesus of Scripture, not the Jesus of the culture? You see, I like to say, submit to you that Israel, just like many do today, many professing people of faith, Israel was promoting what I call, you heard me say it, a salad bar belief, where I pick and choose what I want to believe about God. I don't believe God is anti-same-sex because he believes in love. Are you picking and choosing your God with that position? I believe that any woman should have her own right of her own body when it comes down to her reproduction. Again, are you choosing the God that you want to be comfortable with? I believe that, you know, we don't have to give people the gospel. We don't have to teach the Bible. Just make sure that they got water to plant their plants and they got good irrigation, and we can go rescue a lot of the kids, a lot of the women and the children out of sex trafficking. Now, let me tell you something. This pastor, I understand the gravity, and I understand the significance of those type ministries where you're going to rescue and say the sex trafficking industry and going to mission fields to make sure they have running water. But can I tell you something? If you don't tell them about Jesus Christ, what good is it? Yes, you rescue them from the slavery and the oppression and the denigration of the sex trade, but did you rescue them from that tyrant called Satan? You make sure that they got running water to drink in a disenfranchised country where there's poverty. But let me ask you something. Did you drink them? Did you give them the cup of the living water, which is Jesus? And the sad thing is that churches are giving out contaminated water filled with the bacteria of humanism and psychology, fleshly oriented positions. And not the word, because Jesus said we are clean through the word he's spoken to us. And Jesus is the living word. So Israel, at this time in their history, they're at this place where they have a salad bar belief, where they choose and pick what they want. Like people today, well, I choose and pick what I like about what Jesus said. I know Jesus said born again, but I'm not gonna be born again because I believe Jesus is supposed to be a little bit more flexible. I know what Jesus said, take up the cross and follow me daily. I like my money, I like my stuff, I like my things, but I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't, that crucifixion, that dying stuff, don't give me that, Pastor. Don't talk about me dying or anything. Pastor, Pastor, I need to indulge. You know, eat, drink, and be merry, and if I die, I go party. No, Jesus said he's the only way. Jesus said, take up the cross and follow me. Jesus said this radical statement, you must lose your life in order to gain it. The world says, don't tell me how to live. Don't tell me how to spend my money. This is my kids. These are my kids. That's my husband. That's my wife. This is my stuff. I do everything in this life to meet every appetite that I want. I will pursue whatever I want. I want to have fun, Pastor. I just want to enjoy life, Pastor. But God says, you're not really living till you're dead. We live when we don't live for ourselves. Did you hear me? You're alive when you don't live for yourself. If they didn't have a salad bar belief, I submit to you, they have what I call a Santa Claus faith. What's a Santa Claus faith, Pastor? Well, I see God as this cosmic Santa Claus that give me whatever I want. He gives me whatever I want. God is obligated to give me what I want. I want my presence. I submit to you, this false belief is bolstered by Israel's idolatrous heart. In our last study, we talked about the negative consequences of idolatry. And this morning, we're going to look at some of these 8 practices that invited the judgment or the punishment of God. So let's look at number one. Number one, if you take a note real quickly, number one. We find it in verse 7 of our text. Sowing the wind. Sowing the wind. Now we know in the agricultural, we're going to move into is farm language, agricultural language now, about planting and sowing. And the sower, we know in the New Testament, went out to sow seed, and it fell in different settings. Well, these guys were sowing in the wind. Let me explain. You see, the phrase sow in the wind points to the futility and the fruitlessness of their idolatrous worship. That sowing, God says, you are worshiping idols that can't do nothing for you. As I said a couple weeks ago, they got eyes, they can't see your pain. They got a heart. They have arms, they have legs, they have feet, but they would never hold you. They would never point things to you. It's just an adamant, cold object. What you're creating is just an idol. It's useless. It's fruitless. It will not provide. It has zero ability to help you. You see, so the wind represents the lack of substance and credibility. The wind in this passage, it can't help you. God says in verse 7, they're sowing the wind, and guess what they're going to do, Pastor? As Paul spelled it out in the New Testament economy, you will reap what you sow. Did you know we're all farmers? We are all farmers. Young people. Everybody, what kind of seed you plant? What are you sowing? Here's what I know to be true, and it's just as huge as the law of gravity. You plant jealousy, envy, hatred, bitterness, unforgiveness, fleshly sin. You plant that kind of seed, guess what kind of crop you're going to get? And it will impact all your relationships, professionally and personally. The Bible makes it very clear. Those that sow in the flesh will reap death, but those that sow in the spirit will reap life everlasting. And Israel is sowing seed that has no life, but will just invite them to destruction, because the whirlwind, they're sowing the wind, but there's also a whirlwind. See, they shall reap the whirlwind. You see that in the passage? The whirlwind is a picture of the destruction. Destruction is, the whirlwind represents destruction. I want you to think about a Category 5, F5 tornado. Is that destructive? You can have all the money, all the resources. your nice 10,000 square foot home, have all these things, but let a tornado come through here, the F5. It takes and removes away everything, does it not? So God says, Israel, you've got all these temples, you got all these nice buildings, you have all these resources, you got all these crops, you have all this livestock, you have all these things, but I'm coming in like an F5 tornado. And in a contemporary sense, you got your life savings, you got your 401k, you got your houses, you got your capacity of vacation. Those are all well and good. But if that is your security, God says, I'm wiping it out. Why, God? Because I love you. I'm chastening them. You see, they're sowing in the wind. Second point, their self-preservation would be destructive. Their self-preservation would be self-destructive. Their self-preservation would be self-destructive. They're sowing the wind, number one, sowing the wind. Self-preservation. You know, so many people want to be independent today. They think that they can protect themselves. You see, Israel had already demonstrated in this chapter, in verses 4 and 6 specifically, Israel had already appointed their own kings that God had nothing to do with. We make our own bosses. We vote our own leaders in. We don't need your advice on this one, God. We can handle this ourselves. Self-appointed. Kind of like what we do in our political process. We appoint people, that don't mean they came from God. Planning, this planting metaphor, I love it. He's talking about, hey, you're preserving yourself and your crop that you're planting, all that crop will be worthless. There'll be, picture this, I'm a Georgia boy, so there were some places that we got to see corn stalks grow up. And when the corn grow up, you're looking for the ear of corn. So I want you to imagine, you got the beautiful green stalks standing up majestically, standing up tall, but there is no ears on it. What good is it? And here's what they have. No ears, no fruit. You won't enjoy it. You won't enjoy it. And if by chance, because of your idolatry, if by chance, if you do get any ears of corn, you still won't be able to consume that because I'm sending strangers in to eat that up. Now let me ask you a question. Why in the world would you want to be in an adversarial position with a holy God? Why would you want to be an opponent of God? Ask yourself that. Self-appointed leaders, self-preservation, self-destruction. Point number three, move in verse 8 now. They'll be swallowed up by her surrendership of her sovereignty. Israel will be swallowed up by her surrendership of her sovereignty. You see, God set Israel as a nation above all nations, but because of what I call a fatalistic foreign policy action, a fatalistic foreign policy move, she started relying and mixing with the other nations. And we see that in the seventh chapter for homework, seventh chapter, verses 8 through 12. Instead of calling and trusting on God Almighty, the very God that parted the Red Sea, the very God that did those miracles and signs, 10 plagues on Egypt, on Pharaoh, all of a sudden, he's not as powerful anymore. Instead of trusting God, we need help from other nations. One of those nations were the Assyrians. And what's going to happen is that these foreign nations that you are trusting in, because you're surrendering your sovereignty to be governed by Almighty God and to be governed by His convictions and governed by His commandments, you chose the commandments of man, you locked and you placed yourself in subjection to a foreign power instead of following the all-powerful God.
We thank you for joining us today for the first part of Pastor Bernard's message, The Eviction of God and the Embracing of Idolatry, Part 2. In today's message, Pastor discussed the fact that idolatry is fruitless. Material wealth cannot provide security. Personal habits or practices cannot protect our futures. We cannot rely on the government to save us from destruction. Trusting in anything other than God is pointless, because only God can provide eternal security, protection, and salvation through a relationship with Him. To learn more about having a relationship with God, visit our website at cbfdelray.org. We invite you to join us for the continuation of this message during our next program on Saturday at 1 p.m. Capturing His Conscience is a ministry of Cornerstone.